Hey guys, welcome back to ThickCast. I am your host, Molly Edwards, and today it is just me on the podcast. It is a solo episode, but we are going to be talking about kind of the changing of the year. I don't know if that's the right saying, but kind of going, looking back on 2024 and looking into 2025, where things are heading for myself, where things might be heading for you guys as well, and what things to kind of think about, you know, in this kind of time of one year ending, another one beginning. So yeah, I think I am going to be bringing some more podcasts to you in the next year. That's something that I really want to keep on top of is podcasts and YouTube. If I'm honest, the podcast I find a bit easier. YouTube I do find quite difficult, just to keep on top of, because it's, to be honest, it's remembering my camera, filming something that I think might be interesting to people, and then sitting down, finding the time to edit it all. And I'm not great at it, so it does take me a long time to edit each one, so I do struggle with that a little bit. So definitely the podcast, though, I can keep on top of, I want to keep on top of, and bringing you podcasts with guests, getting some more guests on here again, because it used to be pretty much just guest-based. I never used to do them on my own, but I do want to bring guests back on. So if there's anyone that you want to hear from, whether they've been on before or whether you want me to bring them on, drop me a message and I will do my best to get them on. And also I want to do some more on my own, but more focusing on a topic, which is like what I'm doing today, and discussing that. And I have got a few of them in the pipeline, that, to be honest, I'm going to record over the next kind of week or two. So I've got stuff to go out even then when I'm busy with some exciting new things that are coming. And I know I've said this for ages now, but I've been working on something really big for me as a business this year, to be honest, for quite a while. It was meant to be launching in September originally, but there's a few things that are kind of out of my control and it just wasn't the case. So we are going to go in the new year and launch it in the new year instead. I just feel everything's ready now, but now isn't the time to launch. Everyone's thinking of Christmas. So yeah, something really big is coming, and I'm like, it's something I'm really, really proud of as well. So getting to share that with you is going to be amazing. So yeah, stay tuned for that. But yeah, kind of looking back into 2024, and I think this is something that we should all do, is, and it's kind of, some people call it like a life or audit or work audit or whatever it might be. But I think it's important that we look back at the year, see what we have done, and what we've done well and what we should be proud of ourselves for, especially at a time where people feel a little bit low or mood and whatever, to kind of remember what we have done well this year, but also what we can do next year as well, and kind of to keep that momentum going and moving forwards. So for myself, from a business aspect, I've had a really good year business-wise, to be honest. My most clients I've ever been at, still not at capacity, like I still can take on a couple more. But I'm actually really proud of the fact that I don't push in a salesy way, and I don't think I'm ever going to push in that kind of only 5 spaces left, because it's not me and it's not ever what I want to be. I have a really high client retention rate, and I want that to keep going. You know, that's the kind of people that I want to work with, people that have been working with me. They're on the team now. A lot of them have been with me for a year, 2 years, you know, and that's what I like. I like working with people long term. I'm not about quick fixes. I'm about long term change, long term goals, long term improvement, and very realistic as well. I feel like a lot of, you know, people struggle with perhaps the coach they're with, because they're being fed this crap. You know, it's their first year on stage and they're being told they're going to turn pro, they're going to win overalls, blah blah blah. And the reality is that very, 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 very rarely, you know, you see maybe one person a year, if that, you know, do that. And maybe not even one person a year. So the chance of that being you is pretty slim, if I'm honest. So I think it's having realistic expectations for my clients, giving them realistic goals to achieve, and they do. You know, this year, something that I'm really proud of is the fact that every single one of my clients that stepped on stage this year got a top three placing. And, you know, they all work very, very hard. And for be able to see that rewarded was fantastic. You know, putting the girls in shows that fitted them, not just shows that they felt they should do because it's fashionable, whatever. Shows where their physique fits. And I think that's a really big thing. And I'm actually going to do an episode about this, is different federations have different criterias. Now you look it up on their websites and they'll all pretty much say the same thing, right? This is what we want in bikini, this is what we want in figure, blah, blah, blah. But the reality of that is it's not the same, you know? It's a subjective sport. You've got different judging panels, different looks that they prefer. And, you know, I think that being a coach, you have to be at shows every single year throughout the year, different federations. You have to turn up. You have to watch these shows. Now, from your client's perspective, you know, being there to support them, and, you know, I've been through this and banged on about this enough, but also from a educational perspective, maybe we could say, as a coach, is going to these shows and seeing the looks that are being rewarded week in, week out. Because what you'll find is you can go to a show 1 week and a certain look's rewarded, and maybe the next week you might think, oh, it's a different look being rewarded, if you only go to two shows that season. If you go to three or four or five shows that season, and you keep up to date with what's been on social media and stuff, you'll actually see probably it is a bit more of a consistent look being rewarded. But what can happen is, you know, at that one show, it was a little bit quiet. There wasn't anyone that really fit the criteria. So they've just got to put, you know, who kind of best fits it in as the winner. And that's when that look kind of gets rewarded. And then maybe people think, oh, that's what they're looking for. Well, that's probably not necessarily what they're looking for, but that's all they had available. And, you know, I did a little bit of judging this year as well, but not as much. I've kind of taken a step back from that. So I had way too much going on this year. But, you know, when you've sat in that position, you can really see that as well. So, yeah, definitely you need to keep on top of it. You need to know the differences between the classes, between the federations, what they're looking at. So when you have a client that comes to you, you can go, you suit X class and XX federation. So yeah, I think that is really important. So that was a big thing for me, was obviously getting those top placings, getting overall as well, was really, you know, that was really special for me this year. In such a big show as well, with a lot of really good athletes. So yeah, again, really, really good. And also having a client competing abroad was amazing. And I think if you ever get that opportunity, definitely seize it, take it, run with it, because it's an experience. And I think that, you know, in bodybuilding, I think that the kind of experience side of things can get overshadowed by placings and chasing this and chasing that and chasing the other. And I think if we take a step back and just appreciate the experience, like, you know, when we were over there, I'll be honest, it wasn't a great show over there. The ones in the UK are great. Abroad, it was something else. And I'll get Louise on at some point in the new year, and we'll kind of discuss everything and how that show went. But yeah, I don't think I'd necessarily be rushing to put clients in it. But taking a step back from what the show was itself, and just looking at the experience of flying abroad to compete, you know, going, I went over there with her, but I didn't. I flew over a day later from different airports and things. So having that experience, you know, to fly over there with a client, manage a client that's in a different country, you know, for the one day, obviously I did go and join the next day. And then still managing clients back home and looking, you know, the physique, I've spoken about this many times before, but a physique changes when temperatures and stuff change, you know. So Rome was warm the UK, surprisingly, was not. So things like that, taking all that into consideration, how flying can affect the physique, how can we get around that? And I think for both of us, it was both a massive learning curve, but both, you know, an incredible experience. So again, that was something that was really amazing this year. And like I said, working on this project I'm going to launch in the new year, again, is something that's been really special. So definitely taking those kind of aspects from work and things that I'm really happy with there. Things that I maybe want to work on there is definitely, you know, and you've probably all heard me say this before, but my content, like, I want to be able to push more with YouTube, to be able to push more with podcasts and reels and all of that stuff, and try and just be better at it. And I know I've spoken about it before, but I just struggled. Like, I do really, really struggle with it. So that is something that I can look back on the year and say, those are things that I did well, and where can I go better, is probably pushing that through social media a bit better. Because I don't think that I show well my coaching style, perhaps. You know, when I sit down and do podcasts, I think maybe I do through these podcasts, but not so much through other platforms. And that's what I need to get better at. And it's consistency through that, isn't it, I guess. So I can take back and look and say, that's what I need to improve on there. And obviously continuing to educate myself more on different things that clients face. And I think that's really important as well, that as much as, you know, you can be the best coach in the world, right? You can be getting top placings, athletes at the Olympia, whatever, but you can still always learn. You know, and that goes back to what I said about attending different shows and stuff. You can learn from that, and you can learn from, you know, looking at what you might have an athlete struggling with. Okay, where can I look at that? You know, maybe that's a dietary related thing. Maybe you think, or maybe my nutrition's, I need to learn a little bit more about this. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more about training, whatever it might be, and going down that rabbit hole and educating yourself more. And I think that is something that I have done this year. But again, I want to continue that education next year, and learn as much as possible. Because like I said, I don't think you can ever know too much. So that's definitely kind of my looking back business-wise of the year. And then there's kind of personally too, and there's things that I've achieved in my own competing career personally, that I think, you know, I did well at, and there's things there that I think maybe not so well at. Obviously, if you listen to my podcast I did with Ricky, the reasons why prep didn't go as well, the reason why I'm going to compete next year, so I don't feel like I need to bang on about that in this podcast. But there are aspects that I think I did really well, and, you know, one of them being still managing, you know, my business as well alongside my prep, reminding myself almost the hard days on prep as well and where people struggle. And, you know, I did have a slightly different approach to prep this time around, which was good, seeing how that worked on my body. So yeah, I definitely think I learned that way as well. Did it go the way I wanted it to? No, it didn't. I'm completely honest about that, you know? Of course it didn't. I went out there to win and I didn't. And, you know, it's shit, but we will move on. Moving forward, the aspects that went well, actually, there was stuff that I was really happy with. I was really happy with how I presented my posing at PCA. Two bros, I wasn't unhappy with it, but I know I could have done better. I was happy with things I did with the overall look, you know, the hair and the makeup, the bikini, I feel like I, and the jewellery and the shoes, and, you know, Jazz at Compact's a massive reason why I was happy with, you know, jewellery and shoes, because we went for a styling call together. Tan, I still think, you know, I can get better at that, but that kind of overall look where I did it all myself, I was happy with. You know, I was happy with that makeup, how I learned how to do all of that, how I just straightened my hair, to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I did anything special there. But I was happy with all of that, and that was something that I wanted to be confident at, especially going into pro qualifiers and stuff, confident that I can do my makeup well. I have really annoyingly lost my eyeshadow palette, though. And you know when you've got like a really nice one that costs quite a bit of money and it's got every colour there that you'll need, I think I left it in Jersey because I cannot find it. And that might have to be on the list to Santa, or hopefully it goes in the January sales. We see what happens. But any suggestions on great eyeshadow palettes for stage makeup would be gratefully accepted right now, because I've lost mine and I'm heartbroken. But yeah, like I said, there was aspects there. And just to be able to get back on stage was really good, and to be able to do it with my partner alongside me was again amazing. And kind of in personal life, there's things that have changed there. You know, I've moved up with Ricky in the last couple of weeks up to Dartford, posing from Crayford now. So if there's people around this area or more commutable distance that want to come do posing with me there, you can come and do that. So yeah, there's aspects there that are really good. And you know, being in a gym that's that bit bigger again is helpful. Like I absolutely love Barham. I love the atmosphere there. But yeah, having a little bit more kit is always going to be helpful, especially with the injuries I've got going on. So yeah, that's kind of helpful as well. So yeah, all lots of really positive things have kind of happened this year, and I'm kind of going to close the chapter on 2024 very content. But then also looking forward to 2025. And that's the main aspect of this podcast where I think it will kind of help you guys, because me chatting about my life isn't really going to help you that much. But where we can kind of draw on in 2025 is setting ourselves goals. And I think that New Year's resolutions as such, it's like, I'm going to stop smoking or stop drinking, and it might work for a few weeks and you kind of get bored of that and forget about it. But if we set ourselves goals, and whether that's competing, whether that's a photo shoot, whether that is to hit a PB at certain lifts or whatever, I actually think that goals are really, really important to set yourself each year. And maybe that might be a goal, and then you might have five, you know, I've got 5-year goals and stuff as well. So for myself, you know, that first goal next year is to launch this big thing I'm telling everyone about. So that's my first goal. My second goal then is to obviously get back on stage. And I've kind of got 3 shows in mind. I turned 30 next year. I turned 30 on, I think it's a Saturday. So there are a couple shows on my 30th birthday. So I would quite like to, if I'm ready, do a show and just have fun. And then obviously do the Two Bros qualifier and do a pro qualifier abroad. So sorry, Two Bros regional and then a qualifier abroad. So that for me is my main goal then, the beginning of the year. And then kind of the back end of the year, I've got a few people looking to compete. I think there's 6 of them at the moment. So setting out their seasons for them. We're still waiting for a few more places to just release their dates of when their shows are going to be. Because then we can get on planning. I was hoping it would be by now. Obviously, PCA have announced, UKEP have announced a couple, BPA have announced a couple, but there's still loads we're waiting on, and that everyone seems to be drip feeding. I'm like, can I just know now? Because I want to plan these dates with the girls. But anyway, so obviously planning show dates for my girls. I'm obviously prepping my partner as well. So planning show dates for Ricky as well, and I think he's going to have a couple on stage as well. So trying to just make it all work for as much as we can, to be at every client show, to be at Ricky's show. And, you know, I think there will be a crossover with his clients and my clients competing in the same kind of shows anyway. So that'd be good. But yeah, and then obviously I've got my own goals there with what I want for each of those clients, you know, and where I want them to be able to get placings and stuff. And again, I would like them all to be able to hit that top 3 again. And that's something that I really, really want. And there's a couple of them that I think can do better than that. So, you know, like I said, it's not putting unrealistic expectations on them, but it's giving them that. So when it comes to planning your season as well, I think what's important, when we look into that 2025 season, if you're looking to compete the beginning of next year, you should have already started prep, you know. And the reason I say that is because you start prep, but still have Christmas off, you know, you still be able to have, whether it's Christmas Eve or Boxing Day or Christmas Day or however you do Christmas as a family, be able to have that time off and enjoy it, but also, you know, still be in a position where it's not going to negatively impact your prep and you'll still be ready for stage. So yeah, most people, I think, if you're competing at the beginning of the year, you should be on prep now. But if you're not, if you're competing the back end of the year, we should really be pushing this last bit of the off-season phase and kind of having a plan of, you know, where we're going to need to start prep. And it's probably going to be pretty rough because, like I said, people haven't announced dates yet. But having some idea of when that prep's going to start. So if you want to go away or something, you want to book a little holiday and you don't want that to be in the middle of your prep, you can do that. You can get away the beginning of the year. But mainly just really focusing in on that off-season. And I think what's important before you start prep is to kind of get all your ducks in a row as much as possible. Now, I don't think you're ever going to go into a prep and everything is going to go completely smooth sailing. No. But I do think there's things that we can do before we start a prep that kind of get you in the best possible place, you know. So you've got as much muscle tissue on you as possible. So you've got that training. So you're training, whether it's 4 or 5 times a week. You know, you've got those days which you train, those days which you rest, the days which you do cardio, etc. You've got the food that you know digests well. You know, we're not going into prep and then going, oh, hang on, we're getting some digestive issues here. Where are they coming from? We already know you digest this food well. So that's another thing that just looking at. But also the cost of it. And I don't really think people talk about this enough, but the cost of competing is absolutely mental. So you need to look at that as well and think of, like, where can I save money up for this? So it might be that because Christmas is coming, and if you're like me, there's nothing that you really need for Christmas or can think of. So what could you maybe be asking for is money towards show entries, maybe money to put down the deposit on your bikini, your jewellery, your shoes, you know, because they're all things that people can get to, you know. Jewellery's not overly expensive. You know, you could ask, you know, your brother or sister or whatever, you know, actually I'd like X, Y, and Z earrings and bracelets and things. So you could ask them to get you that. That you could ask for your photography, you know, for Christmas, for your stage photography. So there's all these different things that you could kind of be asking for, but also put money aside for it and make sure you've got spare, because I think, you know, if I'm honest, that's where I went a little bit wrong this year, was I'd put money aside thinking I'd got enough. And then as kind of plans changed and injuries happen or whatever, show dates changed, and you end up having to spend more money than you kind of budgeted for, which obviously then can become a little bit of an issue. So yeah, making sure that you've just got money put aside as you go into that season, and take advantage of winter sales. I think Juice have still got a sale on their bikinis. I think, you know, Black Eyes are finished now. I can't remember what others, but yeah, have a look around, see if you haven't put a deposit down already, go put that deposit down a bikini. I've got a client actually who's gemming her own bikini up, you know, she's brought one, you know, a posing bikini or whatever, just a plain one, and then she's just doing the gems herself. So again, that's another option. If you've got the time, the patience and the know-how, you can do that as well. So it makes it a little bit cheaper. But I would definitely, and also before you decide your jewellery and heels and stuff, and I'm going to do a podcast about this, is decide what you want in your bikini and then base your jewellery and heels around that. But yeah, hopefully that helps a little bit as well. So yeah, those are a few things I'd be thinking of now, of if I'm looking to compete late 2025, that's what I'm looking at. Then it's looking at federations and stuff and looking at what federations you think are actually going to suit your physique. Also distance in traveling, you know, you might have to be spending out on hotels and things. Is that something you want to do? Do you want to do more local shows where you don't have to travel as much? I personally would always rather spend a bit of money and just travel. And, you know, because you'll get the shows that you want then, and that instead of the shows that you kind of cornered yourself to do by saying you don't want to travel. So look at different federations, look at the different classes, you know. Are you a master's athlete, for example, that's 45 plus? If so, I would then be looking at what shows offer me that master's class. Now, PCA have actually brought out the 45 plus class now, but before they didn't. So before that might not have been an option that you might have wanted to go down, but now they've got that 45 plus category. That would maybe one thinking, oh, maybe I'll do that. Maybe look at other federations. You know, Two Bros, again, a very expensive federation, but they do offer, you know, more master's categories. Do you think, you know, I've had a lot of kids, I want to do one that offers, you know, like a Fit Mums class. You've then got UKUP that will offer that as well. Are you thinking, okay, I'm just going to go on and do one class and I'm done. Then you've just got PCA, you know, that offers that. To be fair, all shows will offer that. But if you think, actually, I want to do more than one class, then you might be looking at UKUP, you might be looking at Two Bros, you might be looking at WFF as different ones where you can go on, you can do maybe the beginner's class, then you can go on and do, you know, an open class as well, then perhaps, you know, juniors or masters or whatever. I'd also look at kind of, if you are a junior athlete, what shows are going to offer you that as an option. If you're, you know, and this is all mainly bikini, because then when you look at figure athletes, there's a lot less federations then that offer that master's class as a figure athlete or that junior class as a figure athlete. So again, it's looking at it there. Do you think maybe I want to do open, you know, bikini or figure, and I want to do kind of a diva class? Again, you're then looking at WFF or UKUP. So have a look at kind of what you think you would like to do. And I think that's always going to be your first port of call, no matter what category you might fit into, what do you actually want to do? Because that's what it's going to, you know, you're going to have fun doing. So look at that, and then look at where you think your, you know, your body's going to fit in most, you know. If you're someone that comes in really, really lean, really, really hard, PCA is going to be your one, right? If you come in, now I don't mean you don't come in conditioned, that's completely different. But if you don't come in as hard, maybe you then might want to think about UKUP or Two Bros, where it's a slightly softer look. Now, it's not conditioned at all, and like, I think there's a big difference there, but maybe you want to think of that. So there's a lot of different kind of things you might be thinking of there. Also things like bikini and shoes. Now, when you look at federations like UK BFF, their criteria for their bikini and shoe recommendations are different to a lot of the others. So you've got to then think, okay, is that a show that I want to do, and that a route that I want to go down? If so, wicked. But you might then think, I might need a different bikini and shoes for it, or I'm just going to go with that federation. So again, it's just looking at what you want to do, the routes you want to go down, and having that communication with your coach and asking them where they feel like you fit as well. Also, with the posing, you know, some people look great in certain poses, but not others. So if you look great in those poses, it might be that certain federations, though, favour certain poses over others. So if we look at in the figure class, for example, you've got the posing that you see with Two Bros, NPC, IFBB, which is kind of that front relaxed, arms down shot. You've then got the side pose where both legs are straight, feet together, pose, and then the back pose. They don't do arms overhead poses. Now, if you then look at PCA and you look at kind of the fashions within that, you're then looking at more, you know, you've got that front relaxed and rear relaxed shot, but then your side poses are kind of with that staggered foot placement, a lot more, you know, you're turning your head towards the judges still in those side poses. You've got then the arms overhead poses, the side chest, side tricep, the kind of favourite side poses. You went front and rear double bicep poses. So if you look really good in those poses, you know, though, you might want to do shows that allow you to hit those poses, rather than shows that allow you to hit those kind of Two Bros NPC style figure poses. So if you look better in those ones, you'd then be better going Two Bros, FitX, I think WMBF as well. So it's looking at which suits you best. And the same with bikini, you know, there's certain federations that favour different side poses, some that allow you a bit more. And I'll go on to this, I think, in some posts and some podcasts and stuff, you know, some more differences in the federations. But I think really looking at kind of every aspect and going, where is it that I want to go? And making sure that when you speak to your coach is knowledgeable about these things as well. I was talking to someone the other day about, there's this, some federations that they will say online on their website, you must hit X, Y, and Z pose, you must wear X shoes, you know, shoes with no platform, whatever. But then when you actually go to those shows, it's not really the case, and everyone kind of hits whatever pose they want and they wear whatever shoes that they're comfortable in. Whereas you get other, you know, federations which are strict and they will say, no, you cannot hit that pose, you must move into this pose, whatever. So it's knowing as a coach which federations actually say that, but then they mean whatever, and which shows say that and they mean that. You know, so there is kind of a difference there as well. So like I said, having that clear understanding with your coach of what's going to suit you, where you're going to fit best. So yeah, and then planning as well, like, do you want to do finals? Because if you want to do finals and that's your main goal, is to get to finals to do finals, most finals are kind of October time. So then you're looking at, okay, what shows do I want to do that I haven't got this massive gap then between my regional and finals? And it might be that you're someone that bounces pretty quickly and you can compete one weekend and then compete again the next weekend and do finals. Now, you've got to understand those shows towards the back end of the year, right near finals, are going to be rammed. They are busy. They are very, very high standard athlete. So you've got to keep that into kind of consideration as well. Is that what you want to do? Is that your first year? Do you think actually maybe I want to do slightly quieter shows? I would then go slightly more in the summertime and compete then. So like I said, lots of different options there, lots of different things to think about. But having that communication with your coach and making sure actually you've got a coach ahead of time. So this is something else that I see a lot of, is people, you know, they come to me and they're like, oh, right, so I want to do this show and it's in X week's time. And I look at them like, well, you're not going to get there in that time. Like, you know, your show's in 12 weeks time and we've not even started working together yet. And, you know, how are we, that's a very short time, you know, to get lean enough. And people, I think, often underestimate how long it takes to get truly stage lean. But also how we're going to work together and how we're going to gel together. Now, I try and put out as much of my actual personality as I can personally. But I feel like a lot of coaches don't, you know. And then you start working with them, you're like, oh, actually, I don't know if this is a person that I work well with, and now I'm kind of stuck because I'm halfway through prep and I'm with this coach. Now, you can always leave and there will always be coaches that will still take you on and get you where you need to be. And I've done it many times, you know. I've taken people on in peak week before. So, you know, that's always going to be an option. But it's not the best option, if we're honest, is it? So work with your coach for a little while beforehand. Allow your coach to kind of bring up those calories to be where you want to be before you start prep, to work on any weak areas, you know. So if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, you know, I want to step on stage, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they've got a fantastic upper body, they've got great quads, great hamstrings, but they're really lacking in glutes, for example, you know, it's whatever. We might need to work together and really look at their training and really break that down and work out where that's going wrong. Why are we not connecting with the glutes? You know, to bring that up before we start prep. But also a lot of it is, like I said, gelling with that person, you know, understanding what the needs are as you as an athlete, what you need from your coach and how your coach can provide that to you. It might be that you aren't used to working on a meal plan before, but actually you probably should go on a meal plan if you're going to go and start prep, and that's how that coach works. And you might need just that adjustment period of how to get that food in, and just getting you 100%, you know, checking in every week. Learning the posing as well is a massive thing. Like, if you're competing next year, you should have started your posing now. You know, you should know all your poses. You know, you need to be on it with that. It's massive. But, you know, working with your coach and getting that. Now, other things that we kind of touched upon earlier on in the podcast, I was saying about other goals you might have. So that might be, you know, a photo shoot. Now, you might be in an off season and you want to shoot at your height of off season. So that might be a goal, because your goal might not be kind of an aesthetic goal. It might be a goal of feeling good with your, you know, within yourself in your off season. That might be something you struggled with in the past. So that might be your goal. Okay, so how can we get there? How, you know, we're going to train hard, you know, we're going to hit the gym hard, build muscle where we can and stuff. But also working on it from kind of that mental health aspect of where can we build here? What are we struggling with to kind of get you to that position where you can do that photo shoot and feel amazing at it? And then also, you might want to diet for a photo shoot because you're thinking maybe I want to prep in 2026 or 2027 and I want to kind of have that feeling of dieting down, how do I get on with that and have a photo shoot as a goal there. So, or maybe you just want to do a photo shoot and you never want to compete. Again, like setting that goal up, working with a coach before you start that dieting phase to get you, you know, in the best possible place, and then dieting down into the photo shoot, getting great photos come the end of it. Or maybe you're just in off season all of next year, right? And what are your goals there? You know, where are your goals of things that you want to bring up? Because I think it can be very boring if we're going to the gym and we're just training and there's no real point to our training. If we're sitting there and going, okay, like I need to bring my shoulders up. Okay, how am I going to do that? You know, what part of my training can I change that I'm really, really focusing now on bringing those delts up? Maybe my training hasn't worked in the past and it's not really been, you know, working, so my shoulders aren't being brought up. Where can I break down my training? Where can I look at it and go, okay, this exercise, yeah, I'm really feeling it. That exercise, I'm not. Sending form videos to your coach so they can go through it. They can work that out as well. So setting kind of those goals there, and maybe it's goals of lifts. Maybe you want to squat 80 kilograms and that's your goal this year, or 100 kilograms or whatever. You know, that might be your goal. So setting that as a goal and working out how you're going to get there, planning that as well. So lots of things to kind of think about in this podcast and goals to set. I'd love to know what your goals are this year. So please kind of have goals for yourself. And, you know, I can only really talk to you here about fitness goals, and because that's where I specialize in, right? Your goal might also be that you want to buy a house, right? Probably not going to be the person to talk to you there. I would advise a mortgage advisor for that one. But I definitely think, like, set yourself goals in your personal life, set yourself goals in your fitness life. And I think that actually the two work really well hand in hand, because you're always going to be motivating yourself kind of for both, you know. My personal life of my own competing kind of runs alongside my goals in work, and therefore other goals that I might set myself. So say I want to buy myself a new car, for example. That's my goal for next year. In my personal life, well, that also goes alongside my work goals, because if I don't work hard, I'm not going to earn any money. So if I don't earn any money, I'm not going to be able to buy myself a new car. It might be also other things, like you want to be more present, you know, with your family, with your partner, with your friends, doing things with them. And if that's your goal next year, amazing. But then also that then feeds into your work life, your fitness goals and stuff as well, because how can we, it might be that we need to learn to switch off from work at certain times to be able to focus on them goals as well. So lots to think about there. And I hope you've enjoyed this one. It's just been a bit of a ramble about ending the year, starting the next year, lots of different things to think about in competing next year. And I hope I've given you some kind of information. If you want to know more, maybe you're a little bit stuck about what you want to go next year, maybe you don't know what class you fit into best, maybe you don't know what federation you fit into best, please drop me a message on Instagram. It's mollyjane_bikini. And I will have a little chat to you with that. If you want to jump on board for coaching, I'm still taking clients on at the moment at the time this is released. Obviously kind of Christmas time, I won't be taking anyone on until then, the new year. So if you want to jump on in the new year, drop me a message now as well, even if you're not ready to start. Because this is the other thing, right? We can sit here and go, like, and you've probably seen this all over your Instagram, start now, get ahead of January, whatever. Actually, for some people, it doesn't work. We're too busy. I still haven't done my Christmas shopping yet. I've got loads going on, right? So it might be that actually you want to start in January. That's cool. Drop me a message. We can get your food, your training, everything set up for you. We can get that initial consultation call done. I can learn everything I need to know about you. And then we can kind of get everything set up. So when January comes, we're ready to hit the ground running then. So like I said, drop me a message on Instagram, or if you don't have Instagram, you can drop me an email. It's mollyjanecoaching@gmail.com. And yeah, we can start working together then. So thank you so much for listening. If you've liked this, please rate, review, follow the podcast for more, and share on your stories, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and tag me in them, because I'd love to hear what your goals are for next year. But yeah, if I don't release one before, have a fantastic Christmas, everyone, and a happy new year.